Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we recognize and know who thou art, and we recognize and know who we are. Father, we know that thou art perfect, and thou art in heaven above, and thou art from everlasting to everlasting. And we know that we are fallible, Father, and so we come before thee, trusting in thee. And Father, we marvel, Lord, that thou hast committed that the preaching of thy word would come through fallible men. Father, but we are comforted knowing that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will give that message that thou dost desire, and that thou wilt work in the hearts of those who would desire to hear and to listen what thy Spirit would speak to us. So may we be in tune with that still small voice in this evening hour, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn to the Gospel according to St. John. Read from chapter number 12 and begin with verse number 23. John 12, beginning with verse number 23. Perhaps a little background before we begin the reading. This is the last week of Jesus' life. He had come to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. He had rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, and they proclaimed hosannas to him. And he's here now a few days before his crucifixion, and he's speaking to the people. And he says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees.
Humbling ourselves, Heavenly Father, we come before thee on bended knee, realizing that we are mere men that have gathered themselves together to worship thee, the God of all creation, the God of our fathers, the God that has brought life and light into this world. And so we are thankful that we can come quietly and gather around thy word, as our brother has read this evening hour. We pray, Father, that we might not be the blind and the deaf, cannot see and hear, but that we might attentively look at thee this evening with our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and our ears to hear what the Spirit would speak to us. And so we pray, Father, bless the words of truth and life as our brother brings forth this evening hour. We pray, Heavenly Father, that those that could not come and for various reasons, we pray that you'll be with them and visit them as well. Comfort and guide each one that perhaps is struggles health-wise, who are suffering from many ways that they must turn to thee and call upon thee, and we pray, Father, that you would hear their pleas and their cries, and you heal their wants and needs. We're mindful this evening also of our widows and the widowers, the orphans that gather with us, and also the children that come this evening, that we all might be blessed by the words of truth and life, and that we might rejoice because we do have an opportunity like this, even tonight. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of the world in which we live and the rampant sin that is everywhere, the deceitfulness, the hatred, which is promised in thy word that would grow worse and worse. And yet, Father, we find ourselves in need of prayer. We need to fast and pray for those that are outside the fold, those that don't know thee as their personal Savior, those that care not to gather themselves, such as even this evening hour. And so we pray, Father, that the word might continue to go forth and be spread throughout the entire world, that thy Son Jesus will come and take us all when the word is spread throughout this entire world. Father, we pray for our friends that gather that don't know thee, that they might realize also the need for their soul salvation, that they might come to the knowledge of the truth. As they sit and listen, as they have gathered themselves also, we're thankful that as they come on a Wednesday evening when perhaps there could be many things that could distract them, yet they have chose to come and hear the word of God. May it penetrate their hearts, and may they humble themselves before thee and surrender their lives unto thee. We pray, Father, that all those that have ways and means of teaching the messages, such as we have Sunday school teachers and Bible class teachers, as well as ministering brothers, that would bring forth the truth in simplicity and honesty. For we know that these words are life unto our soul, and they would bring us to the knowledge of the truth, and that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ in a very personal way. For when we know him, we will know the Almighty God as well. So, Father, we pray, and we're so thankful that we have these words of truth and life. But most of all, we're thankful for what has said in these words tonight, that when he is lifted up, that he might draw all men unto him. And we see, Father, that that is the truth, that when he, should he die and that be buried and then rise again, that there might be more fruit and more souls that would come to the knowledge of the truth. We're so thankful for this way of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're thankful that you sent him down on this earth to teach us and to guide us and to die for us, and that we might be forgiven our sins and our trespasses, that we might be reconciled with thee, the God of all creation, of all heaven and earth. And so we pray, Father, we're thankful for these words that teach us and help us to understand, help us to give us that peace and that joy and contentment that everyone would like to have in this sin-sick world in which we live. We know, Father, that it comforts our hearts when we read these words. We know that if we would but believe and trust in him and his holy ways and his words, that we will be brought into the fold, brought into the, and one day be with him forever throughout all eternity. So we pray, Father, help us to remain faithful unto thee in the days that we live, that we might walk worthy of the vocation in which we're called, to bring honor and glory to thy holy name, and that we might be a representative and ambassador for the truth of the word, and that we might represent the living Christ who died for us. Help us in all our weaknesses, forgive us where we fail thee, and help us, Lord, for we pray and know that we need thee every hour. And so we thank you from the depths of our hearts for the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Bless and keep us now as we sit for learning, and as we would listen, may we attentively listen to what the truth of the word might penetrate our hearts. Bless us and keep us, we pray and thank thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
When we consider the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and think that it was really a short 3 years that he spent on this earth, that he went forth and brought forth the word of God to all peoples that would hear him, we recognize that that is just a short time. That's really not a long time to bring forth a message. And so we see in this chapter that this was what he came to do, and he came to fulfill what God would have him to fulfill. And let's begin our meditation this evening with reading the last verses that we read first, consider that, and then go through the reading together, where Jesus is saying here, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day." He's saying that he's not going to judge anyone, but the word that he spoke, that will be the judge. And he says, the reason for that is, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which hath sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak." When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, one of the Trinity, came here upon this earth, he didn't bring forth his own message. He brought the message that God would have him to bring, God the Father. And he didn't, so it wasn't his own, but he said whatever his Father had told him to speak, that is what he spoke. And so he says, that will judge. That will be the judge, is the word that he has spoken, because it wasn't of even of himself as one of the Trinity, but it was of the Father. And so whatever God told him to speak, that is what he spoke. And so it was in this small, short, three-year ministry that Jesus was on this earth that he spoke forth the word of God the Father. And he says, "And I know," Jesus Christ says, "and I know that his commandment is life everlasting." The commandment of God is life everlasting. His commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not a burden. His commandments are life-giving. If we follow his word And we'll read through here of the Word of God, that what He wants us to know that we might have life. We will see that it is liberating. It is life-giving. It gives peace and joy like nothing else can give. And so Jesus says that, and I know that His commandment is life everlasting. So there's this time now where Jesus is here, a few days before His crucifixion. He's in Jerusalem. He rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, and the hosannas were sung, and the praises were sung to His name as He came into Jerusalem there. And there was also Greeks there. And so Philip and Andrew come and tell Jesus that there's Greeks here, and they want to see You. And Jesus doesn't necessarily speak to what they asked of Him, that these Greeks would like to see Him, but He speaks God's message. He speaks the Word of God. He speaks really what they need to hear. And so He answers them, and He says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The time is now. Here we are, a couple days from now, and I'll be crucified. The time has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." This was His hour of glory. This was His time of glory. This is how He would glorify the Father. And we see that truth over and over, that even in our lives, we need to glorify the Father. As Jesus Christ glorified the Father, we also need to glorify the Father. And that Jesus Christ even Himself should be glorified. And so this is the response to Andrew and Philip. As they come and they say, "There's Greeks here, they want to see You." His response to them, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And now He speaks to them and He says, "Verily, verily." And when Jesus says, "Verily, verily," that means this is an important message, and you need to hear it, and you need to understand. Your ears need to be open to this message. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." This is the message that Jesus had for the people. His time is short. He doesn't have much time left to bring forth the Word of God, the Father, to them. And He says, unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And so the message here was that there is life from death. There is gain through loss. Do we hear what the Spirit is speaking? It brings forth fruit when there is a death. We can bear fruit to God's honor and to His glory. We can be His disciples. We can hear what God would have of us, and we know that His commandment is life everlasting. If it dies, it brings forth much fruit. If it doesn't die, it abides alone. There's no value there. "He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." If we regard our life less and less and allow Jesus Christ to fill us fuller and richer in our lives, we will keep it unto life eternal. So what does that mean, that we lay down our lives? What does it mean that that if we die, we will bring forth much fruit? What is it that needs to die? What is it specifically in our lives that needs to die, that life can come from it? Is it not our own will that needs to die, that the will of God might be rich in our lives and might be have free access in our lives? Is it not that our identity needs to die, and that the identity of Jesus Christ needs to be alive in us and vibrant and showing forth the identity of Jesus Christ? This is what it means to die in the Lord, that our will, that our identity would go away. Consider that the Scriptures say that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, but ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And so as we come before Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter even that we are male or female. Whether we are rich or poor, married or single, young or old, that has no bearing. We are either have the identity of Christ or we do not. And we see that truth brought out forth in this message that Jesus Christ gave to the people here during these last days of his life. There is no other classifications. There is either you are a believer in Jesus Christ or you are not. There is no other classifications. Males or females doesn't mean anything. Jew or Greek doesn't mean anything. Either you are a believer in Jesus Christ or you are not. If any man serve me, let him follow me, Jesus says. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. These are some beautiful thoughts that Jesus Christ is giving to us. He's giving these thoughts to us that we would observe them and know them and know that this is what God wants us to hear, and his commandments are life everlasting. If we serve him, if we take on the identity and the will of God in our lives, that we will serve him and we will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And where Jesus is, there shall my servant be also. These are where the servants of Jesus Christ are. They are with Jesus. They follow him as the sheep follow the shepherd. And then here's a beautiful thought. If any man serve me, if we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if we take upon ourselves his identity, not our own identity, his will, not our will, him will my Father honor. That's a humbling thought. That God would honor us if we die to ourselves and serve him and serve the Lord Jesus Christ to do what he would have us to do. God would honor us. That is a humbling thought. And so Jesus now says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. This was the reason that Jesus Christ came, to die upon the cross, to be that supreme sacrifice, that one and supreme sacrifice once and for all that would believe in him would have their sins covered by his shed blood. This was the reason he came. For this cause came I unto this time, unto this hour. And so he says, Father, glorify thy name. And then there came that voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Think of what that beautiful opportunity was that these Greeks, Philip and Andrew, and whoever else was there, that they heard the thundering. They heard the voice of God. They heard that the voice saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God will glorify his name. I'm reminded now of a verse in Isaiah that says, God says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give unto another. God will not share his glory with another. And so he says, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by said it thundered, and others said an angel spake unto him. And Jesus says, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Again, here is Jesus, a minister, a servant, that was serving and doing what God would have him to do. God his Father, God the Father. And he's doing what God would have him to do, and he's saying, but this didn't come for me, because of me, but it came for your sakes. And there were things that Jesus Christ did that the people could see that just this was, in fact, the Son of God, that Jesus was the Messiah, that there was no other beside. There was not one yet to come, but that he was the Messiah. In the previous chapter, we read of how he raised Lazarus from the dead. There were those that believed. When they came to Mary and saw that Lazarus was raised from the dead, the Bible says that they believed in him. Again, the classifications of either you're a believer in Jesus Christ or you are not a believer in Jesus Christ. So there were those that came to Mary when Lazarus was raised from the dead, and they believed because they saw. They believed. But there were others that didn't believe, and they went and told the Pharisees what had happened. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This said he, signifying what death he should die. He knew what death he should die. He knew how he was going to die. He knew the people that were coming after him. He knew all things. There was no other way that the sins of the world could be forgiven but that Jesus Christ would do what he was to do, that he was what he was about to do. And so the people that were there, after they heard the thundering of God's voice, said, "We have heard out of the law that Jesus, that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And as was the case earlier, when Philip and Andrew brought the Greeks to him, he didn't specifically fulfill what they were requesting or asking for, but he brought forth God's message. And here, these men were saying, "Well, we heard that Christ abides forever. And what does this mean, that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" He didn't answer their questions specifically again. He said, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light." He's telling them, believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in the light, that ye might be the children of light. Jesus told Nicodemus, "He that believeth on him is not condemned," on Jesus, "but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Jesus says, come to the light. Believe in the light. Condemnation won't be to you if you're walking in the light. "He that believeth on him is not condemned." There is no condemnation now for those that would believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he came forth upon this earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, brought forth God's word, died upon a cross, shed his blood, became that supreme sacrifice, was buried in a tomb, and then resurrected. Believe in Jesus Christ. He's telling the people, he has but a short time left, and he's telling them, believe, walk in the light while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, and you shall be the children of light. Jesus Christ, earlier in chapter 8, he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He's bringing forth this message. This is the light. Walk in the light while you have the light. And then he's telling us to be believers in this light and to walk in this light and to follow in the light and reflect that light. And then in the Sermon on the Mount, he tells the people, "Let your light so shine before men." Our light, it's the light of Jesus Christ reflecting off of us. It's because we have died to ourselves. It's because we have laid aside our will. We have laid aside our identity. We have laid aside our importance and let Jesus Christ reign and shine forth from us. And so he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Glorify God. Jesus Christ came here upon this earth and he glorified God. He lifted up his name. He brought forth God's message, not even his own message. Who is a man to bring forth his own message when Jesus Christ didn't speak forth of his own words, but the words of his Father? And so after he tells the people, believe in the light, walk, follow me, stay in the light, be the children of light, after he tells them that, he departs. He departs, he exits the scene, and he did hide himself. And that's the way it is in our life often too, is we hear the word of God, we know it to be true, the Spirit tugs at our hearts, the word is impressed upon us deeply, and then it's, what do we do with it? Will we believe it? The word has done its work. Now it's up to us, what will we do with it? The message, the echo of the message goes away. It's no longer. But what will we do with it when God comes to us and speaks to us individually and we know it to be him? And so it was here that when Jesus spoke these things, he departed and he hid himself. You heard the message. Walk in the light. If a man dies to himself, he brings forth much fruit. If we follow and walk in the light, God will honor you. And then it says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. He did all these great things. Again, the previous chapter, something that just happened in their time, that Lazarus was raised from the dead. There was no denying it. Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. There was no denying it. And Jesus raised him to life again. And there were those that believed, and there were those that didn't believe. And though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. There were those that heard the voice of God saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. They didn't believe. They didn't believe. And so it was the fulfillment of Isaiah, the prophet, as he spoke these things. And they couldn't believe. Their eyes were blinded, their hearts were hardened, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. But yet, we see the negative here. We see how when they didn't believe, what happened to them. But if we take the negatives of this verse and flip them to the positive, which would still be true, we can see the glory of God, where he says, it would read, for he opened their eyes, not blinded their eyes, and he softened their heart, not hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, that they should see with their eyes, and that they should understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. When God, in his love, touches us with his word and with his Holy Spirit, we come to understand with our heart of who God is and his great, great love that he has for us. And then we can be converted. Converted that we would serve the Lord, that we would die to self, that our will, our aspirations, our identity, our importance would all just die, and we would be converted, and we would be healed. That deadness that is in the heart would all be taken away, and that we would have this newness of life about us. And it says here that nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There were those, the chief rulers. Chief rulers, they believed. Again, it doesn't matter so much that they were chief rulers. Either we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and that only through him we can have eternal life, or we don't believe it. Two classifications, no other classifications. It says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I'm reminded of King Herod. King Herod took James and he killed him. Flippantly killed him. It didn't mean much to him. But he saw that it pleased the Jews. He loved to please men. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Herod loved to please, he loved that he pleased the Jews. And so when he saw that killing James pleased the Jews, well, he said, I'll take Peter too. I'll take Peter too and I'll kill him as well. But God intervened and it didn't happen. And then later on in that chapter, we read that King Herod makes this oration. He makes this speech. And the people marveled at him, and they said, oh, it's the voice of a God and not of a man. And he reveled in that. He loved the praise of men. He just loved the praise of men. God, in his goodness, And God, in the way he judges, smote him, and the worms came and ate his body. Why? Because he didn't give glory to God. He wasn't a believer. When we are, as believers, lay down our life, take up his identity, serve him, follow him, walk in the light, we give God glory. When we do what he would have us to do, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Really, isn't that the goal of our life? That God would be glorified in all things? Let God be glorified in all things. So Jesus cries out, again, knowing that he has just a short time before he's offered up. He cries out and he says, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." He already told them that God was his Father. "He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." And so we have this blessing and this great privilege and this day of grace that when we believe in Jesus Christ for who he is, that we don't abide in darkness. We're not confused. We don't have fear. We don't have condemnation hanging over our heads. We're free. We are his child. He loves us, and he gives us grace moment by moment. And we see his working in our lives. "I am come, a light unto this world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." This is the primary reason why Jesus Christ came here upon this earth, is to save men's souls. We read that in Matthew 18. We read that in other places. There's no greater reason as to why Jesus came here upon this earth other than to save our souls. And so he saves the world, as he says here. He came to save the world. Doesn't matter if you're a Greek or a Jew, bond or free, male or female, whatever generation you're from, he came to save the world. He didn't come to judge the world. That judgment is going to be left to the Word of God. The Word of God will judge us. And so we look to God's Word. We know that his commandment is life everlasting. It's a joy. It's wonderful to know the Lord and to keep his commandments and to do what he would have us to do, to walk in this light, to follow him, to serve him, to bring him honor and to bring him glory in every aspect of our lives. The next chapter gives one of the commandments that is life everlasting. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." We are the children of God. We have the identity of Christ, and we will be his, and we will be known to be his by the love that we have one toward another. That's the words of Jesus Christ that come from the Father and are life everlasting. Amen.
Much of what we had read tonight was the very words of Jesus Christ. And as he realized that his time was coming to an end, and we realized he was a man, he says in verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled." He knew the pain and the suffering that he's going to have to go through. But he said, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this came I unto this hour." So he knew what his job was. He knew what his mission was from his Heavenly Father. And in verse 10, chapter 10, we can see where he said, "No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And so that's why he says there, "And I, if I be lifted up from earth, will draw all men unto me." So he realized this was his mission. He knew he had to suffer, but he did it because he loved us, and he wanted to die and shed his blood for our sins. May these words bless our hearts, and may they ring in our hearts as we are reminded of his suffering and his cause for being on this earth. That is to save us from our sins. Amen.